This morning, I want to talk on this. Come follow me. So let's talk about the D word. What's the D word? Disciple. Why do we call ourselves Christians rather than disciples? Is there a difference? Why don't you take 30 seconds and ask your neighbour, what's the difference between a Christian and a disciple? It's just been a challenge to me. Why don't we use it? Why don't we call each other disciples? Here's some possible answers. It's one of these ones where you stay in the question. There's no definitive answer. Less religious. Christian's the less religious word, maybe. Disciple could sound a bit cult-like. I don't know. If you were telling your colleagues you were a disciple, they might raise their eyebrows. Is it more palatable for us? Disciple suggests maybe a higher demand than the word Christian. Perhaps it's just to do with history of words and how they developed. Is the word Christian more vague than disciple? And really, they do mean the same. Although Christian is only used 3 times in the New Testament, and it's a suggestion that that some of Jesus' followers, it was used in a derogatory type of way, Christian, initially, and then that obviously changed. I was just wondering what the definitions were on the web. So one definition of Christian was a person who believes in Jesus Christ. I thought, well, even the devil believes in Jesus Christ, so that's not the best definition in the world. A disciple from the same website, a person who is a pupil or adherent of the doctrines of another, a follower, learner, pupil. And it's the learner pupil bit that the word disciple means when we read the Bible. And the word disciple carries a different emphasis, perhaps, and has made me think afresh, particularly as we look at the idea of back to basics, if we're called to be disciples. So here's the challenge. Probably a challenge to me, but maybe to all of us. Do I need to recover our true identity as disciples of Jesus Christ? It's just not a word we use, is it, very much? Not even in church. Are we Christians in a name only? Do we talk without walking the walk? Perhaps talking about the word disciple could remind us of the church's mission to make disciples. Actually, making disciples versus converts, rather than people getting to pray a prayer, or maybe a one-off decision. I think that's one of the biggest challenges the church has, not just getting people to pray a prayer, but actually to bring them through into a place where they can be a disciple. You might have picked up some stuff on media. There's some videos going around at the moment about this thing about accepting Jesus into your heart as a prayer, not being biblical, and people preferring to use words like repent and believe. And I think it's an American thing. 4 out of 5 Americans say they're Christians, but actually a large proportion wouldn't say they believe in the Bible. There's a bit of a gap there, isn't there? But you get where I'm going. If we just pray a prayer and say, yes, Jesus, come into my life, but we don't do the bit, our bit, of choosing to follow him. That's the other half, isn't it? So the main text we're going to look at is Matthew 4. If you've got your Bibles or iPads, phones, other manufacturers are available. Matthew 4, 18 to 22. Who's Apple? Just out of interest, who's Apple? Who's Samsung? Who's something else? Are you something else, Sam? What are you, Sam? Oh, you get your hand up too long. Anyway, that's nothing to do with what I'm preaching about. Let's read this. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw 2 brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once, they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, is that right? Preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat, and their father followed him. I thought I'd done a typo there. We see Peter, Andrew, James, and John called by Jesus. What was the response of the fishermen? At once they left. And immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. And it's probably just important to note here that Peter and Andrew had been with Jesus before. We see that in 1 John 40. So it wasn't as though they just met or knew about Jesus. Another little question for you. Come follow me, Jesus says. Talk to your neighbour, maybe a different neighbour, unless you've only got one on one side. Come follow me. Invitation or command? 30 seconds. I think it's got to be an invitation. I don't know the answer. But there must be something about Jesus that they knew or they'd seen for such a quick response. They got up immediately and followed him. Perhaps he carried such a presence about him that desire to follow him was overwhelming. Maybe it's like Tim said this morning, perhaps it was just a case of, I surrender. And just as an aside, in the culture of the time, religious students chose their mentors rather than the other way around. And this is Jesus going to find ordinary people. Imagine the scenario. This is a picture of a boat on the Galilean Sea. After Jesus says, come follow me, there is no record of the disciples saying, hold on, give us a minute. We'll just have a chat over here and we'll weigh up our options. There's nothing like that. And I'm wondering whether, because they've seen Jesus, like when we see Jesus, either for the first time or another time, things change. Things can change in an instant. I was also thinking about the father of James and John. I'd be a bit peeved. All right, boys, okay, I'll sort it out, yeah. We know the letter to the Hebrews in chapter 11, verse 6, says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. The disciples-to-be, they were putting their faith and trust in the man. They even knew only a small amount about, or hadn't even known for very long at all. And then the second bit, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I wonder if they knew what that meant. It just strikes me as just a really instant reaction. I think I'd want at least a few minutes, maybe days to think about that one. But I'm not very good at making decisions sometimes, but just interesting to know the dynamics that went on that day. They decided to follow Jesus in faith. They certainly believed something about Jesus, but not everything. Did they know what was down the line for them? Did they know what they were letting themselves in for? The call to follow me soon moves to what Luke says in chapter 9 and verse 23. This is a shift from come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. It's kicked up a notch, hasn't it? And of course, this is well before Jesus is crucified. But the disciples would have known about hundreds of people that would have been crucified in their day. That would have been they would have known what that meant, the cross bit. Follow me. The follow bit is more than just a physical walking behind where Jesus is travelling. That word follow is massive and life-changing. It will mean following his teaching and adhering to it. It will require consistency and longevity. It will require some cost and effort, and ultimately a desire to imitate Jesus. That's what come follow me means. The call is high, with an allegiance to God above all else. And the act of come follow me, suggests that they've got to leave somewhere and leave something behind, going from one place to another. The disciples, what did they leave? A good, respected career, well paid. They left their boat, their father in the boat, and their family. And the call is high for us too. More than just a prayer of asking Jesus into our hearts. We respond to Jesus's come follow me in the same way. And he continues by his Spirit to say to us, come follow me. Perhaps that's the hardest bit, to follow Jesus. Getting up in the morning. Perhaps he asks us daily. Being a disciple and being the process of discipleship is simply a daily series of choices. It's true, isn't it? Choices may be big or small. Choices about whether our attitudes and actions will be like Jesus, WWJD. Is that the call? Is that call? Come follow me, louder on some days. Perhaps God shouts it a bit louder some days. Perhaps we ignore it some days. Perhaps it's too tough some days when we're reminded to follow Jesus. We're just going to move on to the second part of the verse. Come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And the fishing bit, of course, is an analogy for winning souls or catching people for the kingdom, for Jesus. Now, these fishermen were using nets. My type of fishing is on the right. These fishermen were using nets. They weren't parking a hook in the ocean and sitting there grabbing a beer and chatting to your friends and then waiting. It wasn't that kind of work. The fishing with nets was hard work, sometimes with little results, long hours. Not dissimilar to evangelism, is it? Fishing for people is hard work, and it sometimes gets mixed results. But our call, Jesus' call and the promise, it is a wonderful high calling. What a privilege to be able to do that for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the ruler of the universe. It's a tough call. I was just thinking about the two parts of that call that Jesus gives the disciples. Come follow me and I will make you. I was just thinking about actually the first bit. It has to come in this order, that actually to be released into what God has for us, he needs to deal with box one. Come follow me. If our relationships with our friends, our family, our spouses, our children aren't right, there's a cap on how God can use you. If our character isn't sorted, there'll be a cap. It doesn't mean you have to be sorted to be able to minister and to serve, but actually, it feels like we go from come follow me, spending time with Jesus, being shaped into ministry, into serving, but actually we have to keep coming back to the come follow me bit, because it's all about him. The first call is to follow him, not about what he wants us to do. He wants us. Come follow me. Is it worth it? Peter asks it in Mark 10. It says, then Peter spoke up. We have left everything to follow you. Talking to Jesus. Truly I tell you, Jesus replied, no one has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me, and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. I've been challenged recently again, just realising we need to have an eternal perspective on things all the time. And there's people like Caroline, Bex, situations that you go, wow, actually if I think just now, it's hard. And we sung this morning about, well, we were singing it to God, break my heart for what breaks yours. Open up my eyes to things unseen as I walk from here to eternity. I think we're arguably more effective. Perhaps we can manage life better if we have an eternal perspective rather than just the one in front of us. It's hard to do, isn't it? You don't know what's round the corner. And our call to follow Jesus is part of a bigger picture. God's big story. Phil, be pleased. Sorry, Phil. I was just thinking about, okay, where do we fit in? That call, come follow me. So covenant with Abraham, Israel, Moses. Jesus, the fulfillment of the Old Testament, the promised Messiah. Then the restoration of Israel and the hope for the nations. The church, fulfillment of Old Testament hope, a renewed people of God. Church, a group of individuals who have responded to the call of come follow me as we partner with God in his mission to save the world. We are chosen and used by God in our weakness. The fishermen were ordinary people. I'm ordinary. I think you're ordinary as well. That sounds horrible, doesn't it? I don't mean to say that. I wasn't trying to be rude. I'm sure we're extraordinary. Let me finish with this. When they, this was the leaders and elders and teachers that Peter and John were standing before, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and they realised that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And it's this bit. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. They took note that these men had been with Jesus. Would people say the same of me? He's been with Jesus. Phil's been with Jesus. Fiona's been with Jesus. I can see that. There's nothing special about us. But in Jesus, there is, in our weaknesses. Unschooled, ordinary men, ordinary people here this morning. Actually, our first call is to follow him. I was reminded, Johnny Dyer, who some of us all know, one of his phrases, I think he must have said it more than once because I can remember it, but he said that actually if being a Christian was a crime or a disciple was a crime, would there be enough evidence to convict you? It's a good question, isn't it? Why don't we pray? Lord, we want to remember when we first said and responded to you. Perhaps it was a weighty decision. Perhaps it wasn't. Perhaps it was whatever. Everyone's story is different, Lord. And I just want to ask that you would just remind us afresh about what it means to follow you. Father, that we may be known as people that have been with you, that people, when they see us, know that we've spent time with you. Father, would you help us to put you first, put you in the center of everything that we do, before our calling, before our ministry, it's you. We follow you. Lord, may we not just, Lord, focus on the bits where you do everything for us, Lord. Help us to do our bit as well in response. We want to say thank you. And it's an honour and a privilege to be your sons and daughters. And ultimately, your disciples. Help us to know what that word means, not to shy away from it. Lord, we want to respond to your call afresh. To call you Lord, truly, and mean it, and hand stuff over to you, our lives over to you. Leaving our boats. And Lord, I want to really pray for that word that Tim brought about surrender. And Father, perhaps it's laying down something. Perhaps it's just lifting up our hands. Perhaps it's saying, I can't do this on my own. Holy Spirit, I just pray you would come and move amongst us as we respond in worship and singing. That you would do something in our hearts, and perhaps for some of us it's re-saying, you're Lord. Perhaps it's re-saying, I am going to follow you, even though it's tough. Thank you, Lord, that you're worth following. Thank you that you are the best thing. There's nothing like you. There's no one like you. Thank you, Lord. Say thank you for your kingdom. Thank you that we're a part of your big story and we slot in. Say thank you, we're chosen. Father, we want to respond again to your love. We want to respond again to your calling. You want us. You want us again this morning. Thank you, Lord. Amen.